بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The fourth verse which the author is Muhammad bin Sulaiman al-Tamimi rahimahullah, and the one who is making the commentary on the book of Tawheed is Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. Then he cited the following verse in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 36. Chapter 4, verse 36. قال الله تعالى وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and join none with Him in worship. Okay, so here we have the two pillars. Here we have the two pillars of Tawheed. The first pillar is وَلَا تُشْرِكُ. This is negation. This is equivalent to there is no true God. There is no God, rather. And then the affirmation وَعْبُدُ and worship. This is equivalent to إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So the complete sentence will then be there is no true God, there is no God, or there is no true God except Allah. Then Allah here, none, he said, join none. This is a negation. Negation in the context of this forbiddance to associate partners with Allah. Therefore, it covers everything. So no prophet, nor an angel, or a wali, a righteous person, even none of the affairs of this life could be made as associates with Allah. In fact, man, if his only concern is this life, it is as if he is worshipping it. It is as if he is worshipping it.
لا إله إلا الله.
Okay. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So this verse therefore affirms the pillars of Tawheed, the affirmation and the negation parts, and that nothing can be taken as associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This covers the prophets, the angels, the friends of Allah, the righteous, and none of the affairs of this life, if the only concern of the person is this life, then indeed he has taken this as or if his concern is this matter of this life or these matters of the life, then he will become a worshipper to them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the continuity of the verse, Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 36, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, we covered that, and being righteous and good to the, being good and kind and dutiful to the parents, worship Allah and join none with him in worship and do good to parents, we covered that part earlier. Then here Allah says to the kinsfolk and to the orphans and to the masakeen, the poor, be good to them. And the orphan, or the orphans is a plural of the orphan, and he is the one whose father died while he didn't reach the age of puberty. And the masakeen, those who don't have wealth or money, and that made them come still فَأَسْكَنَهُمْ الْفَقْرِ, and poverty made them lay still or come still. And وَابْنُ السَّبِيلِ, وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, the neighbor, and also وَالْمَسَاكِينِ, there is the wayfarer and we have also mentioned the neighbor who is near of kin, those who are adjacent, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, the adjacent to your house or around that, and the those who are near in kin, and also those who are the neighbor who is a stranger. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ, it is said that this may refer to the wife or the one, your companion in trouble, because he is with you to your side, and each has a right on you, the wife and this companion. So this verse also may cover both, the meaning may cover the wife and may cover the companion in trouble, and the wayfarer that you meet, the one who is traveling and who consumed his support and maintenance and living expenses, and those slaves whom your right hand possess. This therefore covers goodness to them, and also to the all creatures, animals and the like, because they are all under what your hand may possess. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah does not like, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا, Allah does not like such as are proud and boastful. The proud in his appearance, and those who are also boastful in their sayings, Allah doesn't like both, neither this nor that. Then the author also cited the following verse in Surah Al-An'am, and these are very, very important citations which we will also comment on at the end. The saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, verses 151, verse 151, chapter 6, verse 151. And those who have the book of Tawheed in English may follow with us there, and they have their comments, and they have the comments rather on the margin if they wish. قُلْ تَعَالَوْ, and the saying of Allah, قُلْ, O Muhammad, تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, ألا تشرك به شيئا. This is another point of evidence which the author was to emphasize, to avoid shirk. Say, O Muhammad, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Join not anything in worship with him. We have covered that. This address is to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah commanded him to say to the people, Ta'alaw, come. And the basis for such addressing in this manner is from ulu, from highness, as if the one calling you is calling you to come to him in highness, to his place, from a high place. Come on, come. ارتفع إلي. Come, ascend to me. I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Here, look what he said. I will recite what your Lord. He didn't say, I will recite what Allah prohibited. Because using the term Ar-Rabb, the Lord, here is more fitting. Because the Lord has the absolute running of the affairs concerning the creatures. And judging him in accordance with what is necessitated by his wisdom. And that's why he used the term here, I will recite to you what your Lord has prohibited from you. It is fitting in the context. Allah tushriku, that you join not anything in worship. This is explanatory, explanation. So come to recite to you that you don't worship, join not anything in worship. And then comes again, be good and dutiful to your parents. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا. This is now new. Kill not your children because of poverty. And we'll count them at the end. Kill not your children because of poverty. So after Allah mentioned the rights of the roots, our parents, then he mentioned the rights of the branches, the children. And in the Arabic language, the term أولاد, children, covers both the male and female. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa in chapter 4, this is just a point of benefit. يوصيكم الله في أولادكم أولادكم. Then he said, للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. So in the Arabic language, الأولاد refers to males and females. أولاد in Arabic. يعني children. Allah commands you as regards your children's inheritance. Yes. So Allah is saying here, and kill not your children because of poverty. Can we have this, inshallah? This verse, kill not your children out of poverty or because of poverty. Okay, all right, let's stick to that, inshallah. Here it turns, kill not because of poverty. So this min is a causative article. Min is a causative article, because of. Don't kill them because of poverty. Because Allah says, if you keep them, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ. Verily we provide sustenance for you and for them. We will provide sustenance for you and for your and for them. So the sustenance is not going to be restricted by keeping your children alive, because the one who provides is Allah. And here in this verse, Allah said, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ, we provide for you. He started with the parents. And in another surah, in another chapter, which is Surah Al-Isra, Allah started by mentioning that He provides for the children before mentioning the parents. And the wisdom behind such introduction and delaying, is because in this first case, kill not your children because of poverty, meaning poverty is already there, meaning the parents are now poor, parents in a change or in a state of poverty. Here poverty is already occurring, so kill not your children because of that. There in Surah Al-Isra, let's have it please, 17, in 1731, look at the context. In 1731, Allah said, and kill not your children for fear of poverty, for fear. And here, it is because of poverty, poverty is occurring. But in Surah Al-Isra, and kill not your children for fear, khashyata imlaq. So here the parents are rich, however they fear poverty. So he started by mentioning, we provide for them and for you. We provide for them and for you. So he started with the provision for the children first before mentioning the parents. Is this clear now? The difference of the of introduction and delaying of the parents and the children, is this clear now? In both cases, inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah. And such statement, kill not your children for fear of poverty, this is because of the children's status and the mushriks at their times. So this refers to the to what occurred during the pagan situation. Then Allah says, okay, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشِ, and come not near, let's have this part now, come not near to al-fawahish, shameful sins, illegal sexual intercourse, and not all, all forms of sins and evils. Come not near to fawahish, come not near, come not near. Look at this term and give it your attention please. Come not near. Allah did not say here, He didn't say لا تأتوا, don't indulge in فواحش, in shameful sins, etc. Allah didn't say don't indulge in them, because forbidding not to come near to فواحش is more intense and profound than commanding not to indulge in them. Because in this situation, commanding or prohibiting not to come near to the fawahish is a prohibition from the fawahish, not only that, as well as from everything that leads to them. I hope you understand now. This is prohibiting the fawahish in essence and in all that may lead to them. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the man to look at the non-mahram woman and to have seclusion with women from the non-mahrams, and that the woman travel without a mahram, because all that leads to fawahish, leads to sin. And the examples are so many and profound. And what type of fawahish? Whether these fawahish were committed openly or secretly. Because these fawahish, some are ugly in the, you know, to all mankind, to all people, and some are covered and hidden, and there is not clear, less apparent. And it is said also, whether they committed openly or secretly, this is another meaning, as you see it here. Like, for example, committing adultery openly, we seek refuge in Allah from that, and in secrecy, both are prohibited. Also, it is mentioned that this also may mean مَا عَظُمَ فُشْشُهُ, meaning that which is يعني gravely and intensely a fahisha, a sin, and the lesser, because the fawahish are not on the same level. That's why it came in the hadith, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ, shall I not tell you of the greatest of major sins? And this tells that the major sins amongst them are those that are greatest in magnitude and to a lesser extent still amongst the major sins. Then Allah says, the continuity of the verse please, ولا تقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. The continuity of the same verse 6151 please. And kill not anyone whom Allah has forbidden except for a just cause. And kill not anyone whom Allah has forbidden. Who are the ones not to be killed? The forbidden souls are the soul of the Muslim, and the soul of from the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians who are under Islamic rule. He is called al-Dhimmi. They are called the Dhimmiyin. And the Mu'ahad, the one whom we have a covenant or a treaty with. والمستأمن, the fourth type, is the one who is under the people of the book. Under this category, they are called الذميون. And the fourth soul is al-musta'min, the one who took refuge with a Muslim, and a Muslim declared that he is under my protection, or the one who is allowed into a Muslim state by the permit of the Muslim rulers in this state from the non-believers, from the non-Muslims. If they are permitted to enter the Muslim land through a visit or business or something like that, then in this case they are forbidden to be killed. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and kill not anyone whom Allah has forbidden except for a just cause, according to Islamic law. This is the truth. This is the meaning of just cause. الحق ما أثبته الشرع, the truth is what the Sharia affirms, and falsehood is that which is negated by Sharia. So from the truth which the Sharia affirms is the killing of the soul, of the Muslim soul, when it commits zina, adultery, of that who commits it in a state of marriage, then to be stoned to death. This is just because this is affirmed by Sharia, and whatever is affirmed by Sharia to be just, then it is the truth. Or that a Muslim kills a Muslim, or he departs from his deen, leaves his deen and the Muslim community, or if he commits robbery, in all of these cases, these are just causes in Islamic Sharia, and therefore they are the truth. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. And before that he said ولا تقتلوا أولادكم, and don't kill your children. So here therefore the killing of the children, the prohibition to kill them, is mentioned twice, once specifically and once generally under this verse, ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق, and don't kill the soul which Allah has prohibited except by a just cause. So they fall under this verse as well. So their prohibition now can be concluded to be from two verses, one in particular that named them, and this general verse, and this generality in this verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ, the same verse, please, the end of it. This He, Allah, has commanded you that you may understand, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So Allah entrusted us with this so that we give it our attention and our care, so that also you may understand. The understanding here is to act in a good way, in the correct way. Okay, alaykum as-salam. Here, therefore, تعقلون in this verse means to act in a good way. However, in Surah Al-Zukhruf, تعقلون, the other context in Surah Al-Zukhruf, look at this, 43. So the translation of the meaning here, this He has commanded you that you may understand, here understand should mean act in the good way regarding all of these matters which Allah told us in these verses. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, so hold you, O Muhammad, fast. Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. In 43 verse 3, I'm sorry, 43 verse 3, sorry for that. 43 verse 3. Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Verily we have made it a Quranic or Quran in Arabic that you may be able to understand. Here it merely means to understand. It means تفهمون, you understand. There the term تعقلون in the first verse means understand how to act in a good way. But here understand the context, the meaning. So here we know that all these commands which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse is evidence that if man complies to them, then he is a sensible and wise person. And if he opposes them, then he is foolish and insane. In this verse, we have five commands. In this verse now, there are five commands. Let us put them now in text. Number one, Tawheedullah, the command to command of Tawheed, worship none but Allah. Second, being dutiful to parents, being dutiful to parents. Third, that we don't kill our children. Fourth, that we don't come near to fawahish, all forms of sins. Fifth, that we don't kill the soul which Allah forbade except with a just cause in accordance to the Islamic law. All of these were mentioned here. Then Allah says, yes, this was mentioned in a different verse, Brother Prince. Then Allah says in this verse, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. If we can go to the rest of the commands, inshallah. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. This will be 152 then. The next verse, please. 152. And come not near to the orphan's property except to improve it. إلا بالتي هي أحسن. This is a protection to the property of the orphans, that we approach them not except in the way which is good. So we don't exert any kind of utilization of this wealth except in that which we think that it is good. So if the guardian of the orphan sees two opportunities for the wealth, one of them is more profitable than the other, then he should take by that to improve the wealth. And this is from the worldly side of the thing, but also from the legal aspect, from the Islamic aspect. If he sees two opportunities, one of them is more profitable, but it involves usually riba, which is unlawful, and the other is less profitable, but it is safe from riba, from usury, then he should give precedence to the latter one, free from usury, because the term in ways that improve them, this goodness, it takes precedence in its Islamic adherence than the mere financial and worldly aspect. Then Allah says, and hatta yabluga ashuddahu, and come not near to the orphan's property except to improve it, until he or she from the orphan attains the age of full strength. So there is a goal here. There is a goal. Until he reaches or she reaches the age of full strength. Now, do we give it right away or we test him? No. We give him the property after he is tested, and we look according to the manner of his behavior. If he passes such test, then it is forbidden for us to keep the wealth with us, with the guardian. And this term, age of full strength, refers to his mental and physical strength. And the address here is to the guardians of the orphans, or, according to some scholars, or to the Muslim ruler. And this age of full strength may differ, but what is intended in this verse is the strength through which he will be legally responsible. And this is the completion of 15 years, or the reaching the stage of growth of pubic hair or ejaculation. Then Allah says, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلِ, further commands, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, and give full measure and full weight with justice. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, and give full measure and full weight and justice. So if you measure the food and the grains, measure them fully and with justice, and with respect to weight, the same thing. If you weigh something like meat, so this also covers everything that you need to fulfill in your transactions with others. You must fulfill with all forms of measures and other things in your transactions. Allah says with justice, بالقسط, with justice. And since Allah is mentioning here with justice, this could be difficult sometimes, because man may err to fulfill the weight and the measures sometimes. And that's why Allah immediately mentioned right after this, لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, we burden not any person but that which he can bear according to his capability. So if he exerts the effort and the capability and the ability, and a diminishing occurs, then he is not considered to be in opposition to the command, not sinful, because that which escapes his ability is forgiven. Inasmuch as this verse or this statement implies forgiveness from this angle, the angle of being unable after exerting the required effort, at the same time it has a solid and intense warning from the other angle, and that the person should exert his utmost in fulfilling with justice. And after that, if the mistake occurs, then he should try to avoid it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden him then. Then Allah says, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا, and whenever you give your word, say the truth. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَ, even if a near relative is concerned. And whenever you give your word, judge between men or give evidence or whatever you say, say the truth, even if a near relative is concerned. It's a must that you be just in your sayings, whether this concerns yourself against others or for others concerning you, or for others upon others, for others to others, or to judge between two. The duty is to be judge, or to judge injustice and say injustice, because justice, the meaning of it linguistically is straightness, uprightness. The opposite is injustice and swaying. So don't sway left or right. Here there is a point of benefit. Here, after mentioning this statement, Allah did not say as he said earlier, we burden not any person but that which he bear. لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. Why? Because what we say or what is said generally, it's not difficult to be just in it. Unlike the first situation, first case is more difficult concerning the weighing and the measures. So Allah is even warning, saying here, say the truth, even if a near relative is concerned. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَ. So don't give him preference because of his relationship to you, and thus you'll be inclined to be with him against others. Make your affair purely for Allah, who created you and commanded you with this, and that to him you will return, and he will ask you, what did you do concerning this trust? And the most noble of creation, and the master of the children of Adam, and the most just of humanity, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, swore that if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, would steal, he will cut her hand. وَإِيمَ اللَّهِ لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ سَرَقَتْ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. Then Allah commanded, وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُ. The next statement. And fulfill the covenant of Allah. And fulfill the covenant of Allah, that which Allah entrusted His slaves with, and that means His worship, and to establish His command. As Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in chapter 5, verse 12. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ 12 نَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Indeed, Allah took the covenant from the children of Israel, the Jews, and we appointed 12 leaders among them, and Allah said, I am with you if you perform the salah, establish the prayers, and give the charity, the dutiful charity, zakah, and believe in my messengers, honor and assist them, and lend to Allah a good loan. Verily I will remit your sins and admit you to gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. But if any of you after this disbelieved, he has indeed gone astray from the straight path. This is a covenant from the side of the created. And Allah is saying, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Verily I will remit your sins and admit you to these gardens. This is from the side of Allah. Then Allah said, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ. The end of this verse, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is He commands you, Allah, that you may remember. That you may remember. This verse now has four commands, in addition to the five which we mentioned earlier. This has four. First, we don't approach the property of the orphan except to improve it in good ways. This is one. And that we fulfill the measure and the weight justly. Thirdly, that we be just in what we say. And fourthly, that we fulfill the covenant of Allah. So the first verse, 6, remember these verses please, 6, 151 to 152, we have a total of 9 now, so far, 9 commands. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in 153, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is the 10th command. And verily this is, meaning Allah's command mentioned in the above two verses, is my straight path, so follow it. So if you examine the first nine, which came in 151 and 52, if you comprehend that, you will find it comprising the entire Sharia, either in text or in indication. And it's possible that what is intended by my straight path here is that which is known to be from the deen of Allah, which was brought by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This means the path that leads to Allah. And this path could be added to Allah in the statement, and it could be added to the follower. Like in Surah Al-Fatiha, which we explained earlier, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the straight path, the path of those whom you bestowed favors, your favors upon. So the sirat, the straight path, is added to the those who are seeking the way to Allah. And in Surah Ash-Shura, the other case is clear in 42:11, where the sirat, the sirat, the way, the straight path, is added to Allah in the statement of 42:53. صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. In 42:53, it is added to Allah, because this path leads to Him, the path of Allah, to whom belongs all that's in the heavens and all that's in the earth. Allah added to Him the path of Allah, because it leads to Him, and because He is the one who put for His slaves. And adding it to the followers, because they are the ones who are following it. مستقيمة, this path is straight. There is no crookedness. So follow it. Then Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And follow not other paths, for they will separate you away from His path. So these crooked ways and paths, which are off the path, the straight path of Allah, will separate you away from the path of Allah if you follow them. And desires will split you and make you separate away from the path of Allah. As-subul, subul means paths with an S. Here Allah said, don't follow. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُل in the plural. And in the road that Allah added to him, He said سَبِيلِهِ, His path, or the path of Allah, because His path is one path. Other, however, are many paths, numerous. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and my ummah will divide into 73 sects, all in the fire except one. So the path which is the path of deliverance is one, and the other ones are separate and diverge. Such meaning does not apply to the following verse. When you read it, please understand it now carefully. 5:16, where Allah mentioned as-subul in 5:16, added to another word. Let's have the verse. Okay, great. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ, wherewith Allah guides all those who seek His good pleasure to subul, plural, to ways of peace. Ways of peace, ways with an S. This does not contradict what we said earlier, because this subul, ways, which is added to the term salam, peace, although it comes in the plural, however it is added to peace, and thus it is delivering and therefore what is intended here is شرائع الإسلام, the laws of Islam. These are the ways of peace. So there is no contradiction. Then at the end of this verse Allah says ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This He has ordained for you that you may become pious. So Allah commanded this so that we achieve the degree of piety and we hold to the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the author of the book of Tawheed, of course, referred to the following saying by Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud is reported to have said, من أراد أن ينظر إلى وصية محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anyone who wants to look at the will of Muhammad and his command, التي عليها خاتمه, upon which there is his seal. And of course we will know that there is no written will of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but the saying of Ibn Mas'ud will be explained. Anyone who wants to look at the will or covenant of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon which his seal is on, let him read the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned these verses which we explained, 6, 151 to 153. So this is the saying of Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud said, وَصِيَّةُ Muhammad, the will of Muhammad, the covenant, it means here, the covenant of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said Muhammad. Look, in the statement Ibn Mas'ud said Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning Rasulullah, meaning the messenger of Allah Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the Hashimite, the Qurayshite, Al-Qurashi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This statement, as it is said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said by Ibn Mas'ud, indicates that it is permissible to use like you say Muhammad, qala Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad the messenger of Allah said such and such, وَوَصِيَّةُ Muhammad, and the covenant of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this does not contradict in any way the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nur in 24 verse 63, where he said لَا تَجْعَلُوا دُعَاءَ الرَّسُولِ بَيْنَكُمْ كَدُعَاءِ بَعْضِكُمْ بَعْضًا. Such permissible statements used by Ibn Mas'ud does not contradict what Allah says here. Make not the calling of the messenger among you as your calling of one another. Why? Because here it means calling the messenger. So don't say when you call him, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad. Don't say that. This is what's prohibited here. However, say Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. However, in the case of an informative statement, khabar, informative statement, then the matter is easy, no problem. It is less stringent and vast, it accommodating, more accommodating than in the case of you request something. And that's why it is possible for you and permissible for you to say أنا تابع لمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, I am a follower of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, or اللهم صل على محمد, or Allah have صلاة on Muhammad and the like. وصية محمد, he said the covenant of Muhammad, it is not, and he said, you know, Ibn Mas'ud said, upon which there is his seal. This وصية, this covenant is not written, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not write any will, but this is a covenant. and this is a covenant. And the proof for this lies in the following hadith which took place, or the following narration in which Abu Juhayfa asked Ali bin Abi Talib, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, inshallah ta'ala.
We'll stop. We'll stop for a minute till you are ready, inshallah. Sorry. Okay, let me try to get quickly something you can find, inshallah. Okay, ready to continue, Tayyip. Okay. So in the evidence that this is not a written will is in the narration where Abu Juhayfa asked Ali bin Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left you with any will? He said no. By whom? By the one who split the sea, and by the one who created the breeze. He left us only with an understanding, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon a person regarding the Quran. And what is in this paper? He said. Then he was asked, what is in this paper? He said, the blood money and freeing of the captive, and that a Muslim shall not be killed for a kafir. And in another narration, is there anything which you have, meaning to Ali was asked, which is not in the Quran, meaning that which you may have written from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whether you recorded it or you memorized it? So he negated that. And in the question that when he was asked, it wasn't intended to cover everything written and memorized, because there are so many things which Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported which is not mentioned in this paper. So what is intended concerning what is written in this paper is as Al-Hafidh bin Hajar rahimahullah mentioned, is what was understood from the context and deduced from the context of the Quran and its meanings. So what is written in this paper is what he deduced in addition to that which was in the Quran, what he deduced from the Quran, and he used to write that so that he doesn't forget. This is in addition to the many, many things which he memorized from the rulings which he took from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and kept. So whatever he kept in this paper was lest he use or lest he lose or forget. I mentioned this additional benefit which Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentioned. Why? Because in this there is a refutation against what the Shia claim concerning this paper of Ali that Ali kept, and they say this is the Quran of Ali, and like this is another Quran, and that's why I have added this benefit. And I remember our Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned also this benefit when he explained Sahih al-Bukhari and came across this hadith, which the hadith of Ali and the question that he was asked by Abu Juhayfa. So it should not be thought that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrote these verses from 151 to the end which Ibn Mas'ud mentioned in a special written will. But Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, saw that these verses comprise the entire deen. So it was like a covenant which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sealed for this ummah. And these are great and magnificent verses if the person contemplates them. Three things can occur as a result. Wise sense, remembrance, and piety. On this note we stop, and inshallah we resume the whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits tomorrow from this classical and great book on Tawheed. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.